Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk show host, Randy Fine, and today is Free Advice Friday, the day that I take your calls and answer your questions about narcissistic abuse issues, narcissistic personality disorder, and all related topics. And the number to call is 424-220-1801. I hope to hear from you today, so please call 424-220-1801. The one thing I wanted to – oh, let me just do a little bit of housekeeping first. Just to let you know, next month, October – I normally do this on the second Friday of every month, but in October I will be away on the second Friday. So I'm going to do my show on October 10th, Thursday, October 10th. Also at 11 a.m. Eastern. So if you're interested in listening live, that's when I will be doing the show. Okay, thanks for that. I wanted to talk to you about a simple method that I use to help take apart the difference between what we owe, what responsibility we owe to others, and what responsibility we owe to ourselves. This is something that we use if we're not sure where to put our loyalties, if we're not sure to whether or not to take care of ourselves or take care of the other person. All these different situations where we wonder, where we get confused, and this happens when we're dealing with narcissistic abuse in particular, because it is so confusing, convoluted, and we get our brain gets all twisted and confused, and we don't know where we are in these situations. So the method that I use, and it's a very simple one, I teach it to everyone that I counsel and coach, is the me or you method, or me or them method. So what that means is, you know how I always talk about how important it is to love yourself, take care of yourself, and put yourself first, which is something that narcissistic abuse survivors have a really hard time doing because they've been told that that's selfish. But I'm telling you, and if you listen to me and you trust me, I'm telling you it is not selfish. It is self-love, and self-love is what we are brought here to do, why we're here. We have to love ourselves. Just think of a a well, let's call it a well, if the well is filled with water, everyone can drink from it. If the well is empty, people will try, but they will get nothing from it. So we want you to keep your well filled at all times. And the way to do that is through loving yourself, taking care of yourself, and all the steps that I elaborate on and have elaborated on in many of the shows that I do. There's a major chapter devoted to that in Close Encounters. But anyway, so I just wanted to explain the importance of loving yourself and putting yourself first. So this is what I recommend you do in every situation where you're not sure if you're supposed to feel guilty, if you're supposed to do something for somebody else, if there's obligations, any of those things. So it's the me or them system, which means when the situation comes up, you ask yourself, am I doing this for me or am I doing this for them? And if I'm doing this for them, is this something that I can do without affecting myself, without hurting myself, without causing myself to suffer, to feel bad, to put myself in a situation where I'm with an abuser who's going to continue to abuse me? And by saying that to yourself, you're saying, am I protecting myself or am I putting myself out there in an unsafe, unprotected way? And when I say that, I mean emotionally. So in every situation, you can use this. It's not even with just narcissists. Everyone can use this system because if you, based on the emphasis of self-love, based on that, we always ask ourselves, how do I feel about this? And whatever I'm going to do, I have to be good. I have to feel right with this. You know, it's because sometimes somebody will put you in a position and you'll say yes, and then you'll feel very uncomfortable and you'll wish you had not said yes. And inside, you know you should not have said yes. And inside, you know you should not have put yourself back in that situation or gone along with something. This is where your intuition comes in. So if you've asked yourself prior to making that decision or saying yes, me or them, am I going to be okay doing this? Am I going to feel okay? Is this going to compromise my healing process? Is this going to trigger me? Is it going to set me back in my healing process? These are all things that you want to ask yourself. And if the answer is yes, or even remotely yes, then you cannot do it. But you have to be good to yourself. We have a caller. I'm going to take this call. Good morning. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you for calling
in.
Hi. What did you want to share with us or ask today?
I just wanted to ask you, I know I've already identified the narcissist in my life, but I don't need any help doing that. I've already taking measures to mitigate it and to isolate myself from them. But I just wanted to share with you, I don't know if you've noticed this with anybody or has come across this, and it's kind of funny, actually. The person who I've identified as a toxic narcissist in my life, I overheard them talking one day and come to find out that they absolutely love jury duty. And I have never heard anybody just say they love jury duty. That's just bizarre. And then it kind of clicks, It's like, oh, you're right front there. You've got front row seats to the drama. But most importantly, you have power over the outcome of that person's life. And I just may be totally unrelated, but I thought it was odd. And I don't know if you have anything to say about that, but that's what the toxic narcissist in my world does, is they love jury duty. I think that's weird.
Wait, I lost you. Are you still talking?
Yeah, I'm here.
I can't hear you. Okay, perfect. Okay. You know, that's something that I've never heard before. And never thought about before, but you are absolutely right. Nobody loves jury duty. I know one person who loves jury duty, and that person has a histrionic personality disorder. so, anyway, yeah, I agree with you. It is. You're front and center to someone's drama, and you are in control of their life. I think that is an amazing, amazing observation. How far away are you from this particular relationship? How far have you gotten into your healing?
I've gone no contact, you know. But, you know, it's a sibling, and it's kind of rough on the whole family. But you got to do what you got to do. And you know, one of the tactics that has given me peace of mind, and I haven't really heard you mention, but I record and document every interaction that we have. And with today's technology, it's very easy. This was back when everything was getting to that point, and there was a lot of drama going on. And I identified there's something real wrong here. And so every conversation that I would have with this narcissist, I'd turn on the speakerphone, hit record on my laptop, and record the entire conversation. And the next day, when he's plugged of these bizarre texts that, you know, claim that I said this, and I said that, and I said this, which is totally untrue, I got the raw conversation that anybody can listen to prove it, you know. It kind of sucks that I have to spend the time to defend myself against things that I never said in the first place. But you know, it gives me peace of mind, and that you always want. There's a point. It's almost like hitting the nuclear button. Like you want to release this back onto the narcissist, but there's no point in it at this point. Like for a narcissist to hear themselves, they're gonna come up with some twisted logic that for you know what they said, or you know, it's just. But it's a nice peace of mind to have this documentation and have this, you know, in my back pocket for any time in the future when people are, you know, anybody in the family might bring it up or question what happened or you know, try and blame me for all this, then I will pull that out and, you know, defend myself with the rational person.
Right. Have you ever had an incident where you've had to do that? Have you used that?
No, not yet.
Okay. Okay. So you're doing this. You're doing this for validation, in other words, like at some point in case you need validation of, not for yourself, but to prove it to other people what you've been through. That's kind of, you know, the evidence. You have the evidence, right?
Yeah, pretty much, because, I mean, what happens is, you know, I'll get specific. As an example, back when I was talking with the narcissist, the sibling was throwing our mother under the bus for her failure to, you know, whatever. And so, you know, and our mom, she has got cancer on chemo. You know, she's got a lot going on, and she doesn't need to be dealing with this. And she will go in and go to bat, and, you know, she doesn't. So, anyway, I'm trying to explain this to my sibling, and I said, you know what, you know, that's fine if mom says that she's going to handle this, but she's very sick, and he's confused, and you need to make sure that things are handled on your own, you know, just giving her a little bit of advice, she agrees with me. She's like, I know, and then the next day, I get this nasty text that says, don't call mom sick and crazy because she's not that sick and she's definitely not crazy and blah, 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 you know. And I never said that to begin with. And then she'll go and tell somebody else. She'll go and, you know, badmouth me saying I said this crap that I never did. You know, just, you know, starting fires that never even were there.
It's true. what's interesting. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Keep. I want to hear what you have to say.
That's my rationale behind just documenting all these interactions, because there's a bizarre thing where she goes to sleep and then wakes up and completely. I mean, I believe 100% that she believes I said that, but I never did. So I don't know what happens overnight when your brain switches off and you go to sleep and how you recollect the next day, but it's very, very messed up. It's very, very skewed.
Right. I mean, the narcissists have a completely different version of what the truth is. Sometimes they believe it. sometimes it's just a manipulative tool to gaslight you, to basically say you said something you didn't say, you did something you didn't do, and it's a tactic. So, yeah, they can they can switch it off. And what's really interesting is, and you said this, actually, I really like that you understand this, you could play exactly what happened for the narcissist, and they would hear an entirely different thing. It doesn't matter. You know, I tell people you can have pages and volumes of proof of things that was said and done, and the narcissist will not see that however it's written. They will not see it that way. And I know that. I know that on a personal level as well, because I know how many times I have written letters to my parents telling them how I feel or whatever it was, whatever happened, and them hearing something entirely different, them hearing that they were attacked, that I'm selfish, that I'm inconsiderate. It's just amazing. No matter how you phrase something, it doesn't matter. They will hear. If you're confronting them, you are criticizing them, and that's the bottom line. That's all, you know, that's all that they see. But that's a really interesting thing. I tell people who come to me for counseling, I always tell them to write down all the things that happen, because when they get confused about if the narcissist in their life is, you know, has some good to them, if there's some positive traits that this person has, to go back and read about it, to read exactly what you've been through so that you can reaffirm that this is truly serious abuse. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a great idea. I think people can try doing that. I don't think that evidence is ever going to prove anything to anybody. And the reason I say that is because before you learned about this, before you were involved in this kind of situation, could you ever have conceived of something so crazy and convoluted as this disorder and what it does to people? Could you have ever conceived of that?
Not really, because, I mean, growing up in the family, you're like a fish doesn't know it's wet, you know, it's kind of normal. And then, you know, eventually I woke up and realized something's wrong, and I just never really realized it until recently, last couple of years. And the only way you can handle it is just really distance yourself, unfortunately. But
you're absolutely right. And so with that said, when we present information about something this bizarre to other people. They can't wrap their head around it. So what they do is they go into logic, and they begin to try to explain away what they're hearing, what they're reading. They will explain it away in their head because this is so, it's unlike anything. It's so illogical. And we as rational beings always go to logic when things happen. We reason things out. So anyone who has not gone through this process and understood it fully is going to read something into that that's not there. And that's why it's so maddening to go through this, because you have to go through it alone unless you work with a professional who understands this. You have to go through it alone. You have to learn to self-validate because no one gets it. And I imagine this is, so I'm getting the sense that this is a parent. Is this a parent that you're having an issue with?
Well, it's a parent and a sibling, and those two are so intermeshed, and I like to say that they're both each other's toxic fuel.
Mm.
And the parent and the sibling. You know, that being said, I have to say I'm a product of that environment too, and in some reflection, I probably have a lot of narcissistic tendencies too. I mean, but I don't think I got it as bad as those two. I'm the older one, so I think that I was like the test version, and then so the younger one probably really gets it bad because, you know, the head narcissist has honed their skills.
Well, you know, that's a good way of looking at it, but I'm the youngest, and the abuse affected my older siblings much more than it affected me, and I have no narcissistic tendencies. And I would say to you, you're either a narcissist or you're not. And in a family where there's multiple siblings, only one, really, one will usually become narcissistic. Not in every case will there be a narcissistic child in the family, but only one will develop this disorder as a coping mechanism for the incredible oppression they're under. And it is a way where they completely deny their reality and go into a different world and a different self and a false self and all those kind of things. You are not narcissistic because the fact that you are listening to me, the fact that you are introspective, tells me that you do not have those traits at all. So just because we grow up with a narcissist doesn't mean it rubs off on us unless we become narcissistic. And so what happens to children in these kind of environments is that the abuse, although extremely subtle and covert at times, sometimes it's not, sometimes it is, but really the damage done is mostly done on a subconscious level. And so the subconscious's job is to protect us from completely going insane. That's what the subconscious mind does. So when you're in these environments, and children who have no reference in life, no coping skills, and generally if they have a narcissistic parent, they haven't been taught any of them or any healthy ones, every child will find a different way to cope with this so that they don't really go insane. And the child who becomes the narcissist is the one who says to themselves, this is not going to be my reality. I refuse to accept that this is my reality. And they build a false self. And that false self becomes who they really are through the rest of their life, and you never see the true self. But other children will do other things to cope. They will become pleasers. They may become rebellious. They may go into denial. They may take it out on other people. Whatever it is that they can do to cope, to get through this is what they'll do. But not every child becomes a narcissist or has narcissistic tendencies. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah, I mean,
what I and what I find, one more thing, what I find is that in families where there's more than one sibling, only one sibling will rise out of it. The rest of them will rally around the narcissistic parent and get the crumbs that are left.
Right, right, yeah. I mean, that's how that situation has turned out, because it describes it good. Like I said, I've already put the pieces together, so I'm not looking to you for answers, but everything you say, that matches up with what I've been able to figure out on my own. So
perfect. Okay. All right. Well, thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate the whole jewelry thing. That's pretty neat. It's another aspect for us to think about.
Maybe. Yeah. Could be. I just thought that was a little odd. And it struck me as weird about that whole thing and thought about it. And so, anyways. All right.
Okay, very cool. Well, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. And I'm so proud of you for the healing work that you've done and rising above this. It's not easy to do. So you should be really proud of yourself for that.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that was, that was a really interesting conversation, and it's something to think about. These, narcissists are, unusual? No, that's not really the word. Different, let's just say different. The way that they respond to the world is just very, very different than the way we respond to the world, which is why when we try to figure out what's going on, when we go back and we start thinking about all the episodes that have happened in our relationship, our love with our love interest, our partner, our spouse, our parent, our siblings, whatever it is, when we go back and we go round and round with these incidents and we go, how could they? Why did they? It just doesn't make any sense. And we get very, very caught up in that loop of trying to figure things out. And that's because you never will. There is nothing about what happened to you that will ever make sense, except under the larger umbrella of acceptance. And acceptance is about understanding who these people are, who narcissists are, how they're driven, what they do, and how it's affected you. And once you understand that entire picture, then you come to full acceptance and you say, it happened because. It happened because the person has narcissistic personality disorder. That's the only reason any of this happened. You'll never be able to explain it. And when you're in the process of healing, that is really the goal, is to come to full acceptance, blanket acceptance, umbrella acceptance of the situation as it is, and not try to explain any of it, not even your own behavior. Because when you understand how manipulated and brainwashed you've been, you'll never be able to understand your behavior. It's different behavior. It's not who you really are. So you look back and you think about things that you've done. You may feel bad about it. You may say to yourself, I was no angel in this relationship. And you may say all these things to yourself, trying to explain it away, take responsibility for it. But the bottom line is, you have no responsibility for it. You won't be able to explain it. You'll never understand. You'll never understand what you did, how you responded, what any of that stuff, because it's all nonsense. It's all chaos, confusion, smoke and mirrors. That's all it is. And you just have to come to a blanket acceptance of what the situation is and get out of your head. Get out of your head. That's the most important thing. Because in your head is all the programming, all the memories, all the things that you have believed for so long that are not true. And when you go into your head, that's where you're going to end up, with a bunch of false information. And we like to think that we are intelligent and we can think our way out of these things, but we can't. We can't. And we also want to think that what's going on in our head is current and that we're in control of it. But most people are not in control of their thoughts. Their thoughts are in control of them. And the only way to stop doing that is to become aware of that, to understand that you have a dialogue running in your head 24/7. It runs and runs and runs and runs. It's not necessarily what you're thinking. It's what's been put in there for years and years. It's all kinds of information that have shaped the way you think about situations and think about yourself and the way that you may feel responsible for situations. So when I say get out of your head, I mean really stop trusting the thoughts that you're having and go to your intuition. Always go to your intuition. It will never lie to you. It will always give you the right answer. You feel it before you think it, every time. So I want you to learn how to do that, how to stop trusting your thoughts and go to your intuition. Very, very important. So getting back to the me or them concept, that's one of the ways that you can decide that it has to be me, because you feel it. You feel the tension, the anxiety, the apprehension that's going on in the situation. And then you go right to your head and you reason it away and you end up doing something that you're not comfortable with, something you'll regret because you feel obligated. And there is no obligation in these situations. We have no obligation to these people, none. No obligation. They've had plenty of time to do what they've done to us without us even having an input. Now we have to decide that we're more important than that, and that person has to get pushed aside. And something that I hear from so many people, and I probably even thought this myself, you know, back when I was going through this, is, I'm a good person. I don't want to be mean. I can't be mean. I can't say mean things. I can't turn people down. That's mean. And I'm not a mean person. I'm a loving person, and I want to be a loving person. This is not mean. This is protecting yourself. This is boundaries. And you have to do it. And let me tell you something. Everybody in this world who does not have some kind of abuse syndrome does that. Everyone takes care of their own needs and makes choices based on what's best for them. As narcissistic abuse victims, we were told, we were trained that that is selfish. Every time we tried to take care of ourselves or assert ourselves, we were pushed down, knocked down, you know, made to feel embarrassed or ashamed for having those feelings. That's wrong. That's just a self-serving narcissist using you for whatever sinister agenda they have. It's wrong. It's completely opposite to the truth, as is most everything that you've experienced in your situation with the narcissist. It's all opposite. So once you learn to use this me or them formula, tactic, whatever you want to call it, you will find that the answers will become a lot easier to you to find. Trust that first reaction that you have in your gut and don't reason it away. Don't reason it away. People who have non-pathological minds, we try to find logic and reasoning in every situation that we deal with. And, you know, narcissists know that about us. They know it doesn't take much to get us to turn to their way of thinking. Because if they show us a different way, a different approach, we're going to reason away the truth. That's where they get us. Not everything in life is logical, and not everything in life can be reasoned away. Some things just are. So if you're someone who gets real introspective over every single thing and begins to analyze things, that may be good in the work that you do in your career. You may need to do that. But in this situation, and when you're dealing with toxic people, get rid of it. It doesn't work. It's not going to help you. Because you're not going to see the truth. You're not going to see the reality. And you're just going to go to a programmed dialogue that will get you deeper and deeper into trouble, make you feel bad about yourself, make you regret things that you've done, make you feel guilty. That's really, really important. That's why I'm driving this home today so hard. It's really at the core. When you trust yourself, you will never make a wrong decision. Never. And even when it looks wrong, even if as it projects out, it doesn't work out the way you expected it to work out, understand that that was part of the reality of making that decision. That's the way it was supposed to be. You made a decision for your better good. And sometimes for your better good, things don't look so good. But it's because it's a lesson. It's something that you needed to learn. So if you trust your gut on something and it doesn't pan out the way you expect it to, understand that that's just because you had an expectation. It's not what it was really meant to do. There's lessons in everything that we do, even the most horrendous things. Even in narcissistic abuse, there's lessons in bad things that happen to us. And when bad things happen, understand that if you've made a good decision and bad things happen, that you need to ride that out, because that is going to teach you something very, very important. There's lessons in everything. This is Earth School. We come here to learn. It is the toughest university any of us will ever attend. But they say, it is said, that only the bravest souls come to Earth School, because this is a hard place to be. And this is where we do our hardest work. When we're spirits, when we're souls, none of this exists. We come here to do the hard work, and then we eventually go home. So see it for what it is. I'm grateful that I had a caller today. That was a really interesting point of view. And I hope that in the future you guys will call in, or you can send me letters, send me emails to loveyourlife@randygfine.com. Randi is always spelled with an I, R-A-N-D-I. loveyourlife@randifine.com. Send me your letters, send me your questions, send me your comments. I will read them on air, and I will answer your questions, and then I will email you back a link to listen to the show that I did where I've answered your questions. So it's really important to me that you reach out to me in some way, that you not hold in the pain and the suffering that you're having or the confusion that you're having. Sometimes it's just one little thing. And sometimes I can release you from that one little thing, but you have to reach out. And this is my way of doing it for free for you guys. You know, I do it professionally, but I want to give you this opportunity once a month to take advantage of this information. And begin this healing process or complete the healing process, whatever it may be. And sometimes after you've completed the process, things come up. They do for me. I've been at this a long time, and they still come up. But the difference is that before you heal, you don't have tools. You don't know what to do with what comes up. After you go through the healing process, you have the tools. You know what to do when situations come up. This is something that scares people when they're going through the healing process. How will I ever know? How will this, you know, how will I ever deal with this, that, and the other? What if it's this? What if it's that? What if they show up at the wedding? What if this, you know? And I say, don't worry about it, because when you get to the point where you have gone through the healing process, you will have the tools and know how to deal with it. And it won't flip you out, and it won't necessarily trigger you. It may trigger you, but you'll know what to do with it. So have confidence that along the way, if you do go through the complete healing process, and I, as always, I urge that you allow a professional to help you and guide you through that. It's really, the benefits are amazing. You just wouldn't believe how well, you know, how much further you can go, how quickly you can go with the help of a professional. So I'm always here to help you. You can go onto my website, randifine.com, and go to the Fine Coaching Counseling page and read my policies, and you can always make an appointment with me there. If you haven't already picked up a book of Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, The Narcissistic Abuse Survivor's Guide to Healing and Recovery, you ought to do it, because I have nothing but five-star reviews on there. And they're not solicited reviews. They're just people who have bought the book, read the book, and are singing the praises of it. So if you're on the fence, go read the reviews. There's only one review, one bad review, and that's from a therapist who was bitter, or a psychology student who was bitter, because I'm doing this work and I didn't spend the money for the degree. And she resented that. But what she doesn't understand is I have been in this school learning about this for my entire life. I have years and years of learning and experience. There's nothing a school could teach me that I haven't learned from experience. So, and research and healing. So I get it. I get it. So pick up a copy. There, you can also get an e-version of it, electronic version of it, or pick up the paperback. It is something you'll want to have in your library to refer back to. Anyway, thank you for listening. As I said, the next show will not be on October 11th, but it will be on Thursday, October 10th. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.